The numbers told the story, they all do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander here on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Kelly's behind the glass. Just want to read a few tweets here before we get to Billy because he's standing by for Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Brian M. B. Morianen said, my brother went to Vegas for the first time in October. He was staying at Resorts World and told me he was going to take a quick walk to Caesars. I texted his wife to warn her. It was a minimum 30-minute walk. Didn't believe. He took 45 minutes. Yeah, that happens to a lot of people here. That's for sure. Mike Alvarez. Hey, is imitating my my Charlie Murphy interview that I alluded to earlier when I asked Charlie about Eddie one too many times. He said, hey, Charlie, remember the time Eddie made Delirious? That was cool. Hey, Charlie, remember the time Eddie made those Beverly Hills Cop movies? Yeah, he was awesome at those. Hey, Charlie, how was it playing basketball against Prince? That's all the time we have. It's basically like that. Let's see. And this is from Sean's Fox Plays. The best bet of the night is one in the NBA and one in the W. He's got Fox over 9.5 rebounds and assists, De'Aaron Fox. Then the wagon, Kennedy Carter, over 15.5 points for the Aces. Thanks for the even money on Sinner. Hit Landaluce live at plus 550. Thanks for the EV on Sinner, pardon me. Hit Landaluce. Oh, nice. Landaluce live at plus 550. Well done on Martin Landaluce. And then Scotty Leisure Suit Kobe said, wow, thanks, Kelly. I didn't hear for Tita bought Caesars. So is Golden Nugget now Caesars? And are you able to bet Houston Rockets games there? I understand Caesars only bought Rampart Sports, so could South Point Sportsbook be Caesars Sportsbook one day? Something is up. Interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Let's go.
I have too much to talk about.
Too much?
Yeah.
I saw you even tweeted about it.
Which I never normally do. I tweeted like four things I was going to talk about. So much for Unscripted.
Yeah.
I have so many things I want to talk about. First, shout out to Tony, who was outside, old school guy from New Hampshire, originally from New Hampshire, lives in Florida now, and he came down here to see me. He's outside. Really cool guy. Loves us. And another guy that I seen earlier, I got here about 8:30, about 8:25, and this guy came over to show me his craps sheets, and I asked if it was okay to talk about this. He showed me a random sampling. He kept score at the crap table. You know those guys that keep score.
Yeah.
I usually ask him what inning we're in when I see those kind of people. but keeping score, and he said, Bill, I just want to tell you, I've done this for years. The bubble craps, you know, the individual bubble craps that they have in the machine, you could sit down in the machine and play. They're right by the sports book here, too. Every casino has them. He said they're not random. It's not a random dice game. It's set to a casino pay table, whether it's 85 or 88%. And I had to tell him that's absolutely not true. I said, he has like 200,000 sampling of rolls that he's witnessed in his life. And he said, it's set to about 85%. I said, well, you have to really put it through a bigger simulation, you know, whether it's you can't just go by that. It sounds like a lot, 200,000 decisions. It's really not a lot, rolls of the dice. And of course they're not. And then I asked him, well, do you think blackjack and do you think that like the roulette, the digital roulette that you're playing, not digital, I'm sorry, there's an actual ball spinning in front of you. Do you think they're set to the casino? He said, yes. And I'm not making fun of him. It's just a misconception. People just think when you lose, you don't realize that, you know, that 1.41% on the crap pass line over time will eat you up, even though it's a very low household. Imagine playing a parlay at 20%, you know, or a World Series at 20%. Compared to 1.41, he thinks that this is bad and automatically decides in his mind that this can't be right. It's got to be I'm losing because of it's set to a casino pay table.
It's a confirmation bias thing.
Yeah. Very good wording.
Yeah.
So, very nice guy, and I asked him, I said, can I go over this on VSiN? And he said, sure. So, next thing is...
you want me to go through this list that you put out on Twitter? We got through these?
I don't have it in front of me. Is the World Series next?
Yes, so you said 20.5% rake and the first tournament in the World Series.
I took a photo of that. Yeah. So the okay, thank you. So the genius that I do the podcast with, John Orlando, thinks that that's not a big deal.
He loves you, John. He does.
So I'm going to read. I don't know who this person is. David Lappin. He is. He's at Poker Stars. He says, whoa, that first WSOP event is a $550 buy-in. $456 goes to the buy-in, and $93.50 goes to the house. So it's 20.5%. Add to that, and people out there that know poker, I don't know these poker terms. Add to that all the max late registrations. Mm-hmm. You get 10 big blinds with 65% of the field gone, sniping a 25% plus percentage ICM bump, whatever that means. I would think this guy knows. So Rex from the start, because they actually want to play the poker, are getting absolutely, okay, recreational player. I guess that means players from the start that want to play are absolutely getting wrecked playing poker at the World Series. Now,
but you bring up John because John is not bothered by this. John
he
Orlando.
Said yesterday it doesn't matter. Now,
yeah,
he may have a valid point as far as this goes. I may give him credit for this. He said, Bill, they're bringing people from all over the world into that building that you wouldn't get at a local tournament when you have 80, 90 people show up, 50 people, 100. They're bringing 20,000 people for this thing. Mm-hmm. So there may be a – I just think of old man Binion not charging any juice for the World Series Binion. Just to get people in the building. Or, you know, the World Series main event taking 5%. That's all gone now. It's a business. It's a big business. So big that I think last year it was sold for like $550 million to an outside company. And, you know, this David Lappin, DK Lappin is his name, is his follow. He says Party Poker charges 12.3 for their big tour Madrid main event. I'm not going to give these places credit, to be honest with you. Another one that charges 13%. So to charge 20.5% for the opening tournament, people don't care, though. They don't care. They're coming in. Matter of fact, when the show was over yesterday, John and his friend were going in for going in to buy in again the next day.
We talk about that with sports betting. Like you can talk about parlays and all this until we're blue in the face.
Yes.
People still going to do them.
Yeah, and there is part of me that says, okay, these are 4-hour events, 3-hour events where, as far as sports goes. You know, maybe it's slow. Like if you're playing craps or one of the other games that are lower house, blackjack, because it's so fast and you're playing so fast, so many hands, maybe in the end your ROI is worse on the blackjack because you're playing so much volume. Then I don't know. I'm not trying to say. All I'm saying is just bet a straight bet, 4.5% edge compared to a parlay, a double-digit edge. That's all. And the poker players may actually take like a little bit back and say, hey, Bill, you could just write in the comments if you want. I really don't read them much. But if someone points something out to me, I'll read it. And, I don't think that that's a good gamble sitting there. And especially this is like a speed tournament. I just seen 10 big blinds. If you buy in late, I just think it's a giant, giant, giant. And now Fez just texted. And see, he knows more than me because I don't know poker. Yeah. Fez said the guys who enter late get a huge edge. Now, see, I don't know why because I don't play poker tournaments. Now, maybe it's because they get in and they could just fire and then rebuy again and try to double and triple up and then fire again. You know what I mean?
We'll get Fez to clarify either today or tomorrow on the show.
Yeah.
So there's that. You said bubble crap set to 88%. Come on. We already addressed that. 90% tax deduction on wins being so ambiguous.
Boy, this may need more than 2 minutes and change, but let's see if we can get it in. All right. So the deduction, a new tax rule.
Yeah.
I have a gaming accountant, and my accountant actually has written letters to the IRS to let him explain more of this. They can't. They actually can't explain to him what it is because they don't know exactly.
They don't know.
No, it really
this is.
This
is so, by the way, this is so true of any subject matter. They are not expert in it.
There's no clarification from the IRS, and the IRS is completely ambiguous, is the word they just don't know. So I'll take someone like Vegas Matt. Nice
You're
guy.
You're talking about max deductions on winnings.
Yeah. Vegas Matt is a big gaming influencer. He's down at the El Cortez, which those guys don't like me there. The manager there like threw me out one day. He's like, "Oh, we don't like guys like you." He actually told me that. Yeah. Meanwhile, I do know the owner of the whole place, but that doesn't matter. I'm just saying, like, I've had lunch with him. I had lunch with him on twice actually. But the manager that runs the place, I was playing a machine. Someone called me in. They couldn't afford to play the certain machine, so I came down there, and this guy got so mad. I won like $1,500. It was, and he got so mad. This guy came over to me and just like, "Yeah, we don't want you guys in here." That's exactly what he said. So, yeah, he's still there, by the way. And I'm sure he's very close to Vegas Matt and stuff. That's fine, but I'm going to tell it like it is, the way I feel. So, and I like Vegas Matt, and I like his guys. I like a couple of his guys. I like a lot. So, like, I want to know, like, Vegas Matt's hitting tons of jackpots right now, and you know, some really big ones. He's up a couple million for the year. From what I see and what I'm told, like, how is he going to be able to write off only 90% of that loss? You're talking, let's say at the end of the year, he has 30 million in signers. Like, if you're paying tax on 27 million or whatever it may be, you know, just to give for an example, I just don't know if you're paying, so that means you're paying tax on 3 million. Is that worth the, there must be some more to this rule. There must be more that I don't know about it. Or my accountant, who's a great gaming accountant, 25 years going to this guy, and it's the first time he's actually perplexed, does not know. And he wrote letters, and he still hasn't gotten an answer from the IRS.
It feels like it's one of these, Derek Stevens does a good job of articulating this too, it feels like it's one of these bits of legislation that everybody's kind of on the same side of, and no one can get together and corral it. It's like this train that no one, it left the station, and no one can find it again. It's really strange.
It's so true.
It's a testimony to how messed up our whole system is also. Bill's got some sports betting thing to talk about on the other side. Let's go. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN.com is everything you need to bet smarter. Right now on VSiN.com, Greg Peterson's MLB best bets, Zach Cohen Spurs Thunder Game 6 prediction, UFC Macau best bets, and coming later today, Tyler Shoemaker's WNBA best bets, Daily Racing Form horse racing picks, and Zach Cohen's French Open tennis bets. We'll have Zach on momentarily. And right now, get 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $159 with promo code PRO. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe today. Sasha Zverev now the short shot, as mentioned, plus 180. Novak Djokovic 4-1, followed by Casper Ruud at plus 650, Rafa Hodor at plus 750, and our guy Francisco Cerundolo, our guy for the quarter anyway, at 15-1. Everybody else 22-1 or longer. We get tweet speed of the book. Zach's going to give us some perspective on this momentarily. Shrek, I've never seen this before. Sinner would lose to Todd today with those cramps. Tronsky. Oh, Gil, here comes the baby giraffe. Sinner in trouble. That was during the match. Let's see here. This is from... let's see.
He was just done, man. After those cramps set in, he was toast.
Greg McKay just writes Sinner, Mortal Capper, oh boy, Sinner, providing some drama this morning for us tennis fans. Oh, these were all during... Bob Horner, RIP, from Patrick Kelly. Yes, Bob Horner, the former Brave, dying at 68 years old. Wow. Had a Bob Horner rookie card. Remember that? Dunk Tank Sports. The announcer said the cramps, quote, came out of nowhere, unquote. But when the word comes out of their mouths, is that time to jump on the opponent right away, just in case it develops into this? Well, I mean, it's still Sinner, right? So you have to do that cautiously. Easy to say in retrospect. Mm-hmm.
You never know how those things are going to set in, right? Yeah, you've seen plenty of tennis matches where guys fight their way through it. It goes away after a little bit.
Even though he has the history of it, of course. Kurz. No longer a tennis tournament in Paris, a test of heat, endurance, or something else entirely. Larry Fresh, thanks for the Maya Shrelinski pick. Starting the day with a dog win is always a plus. Have a great Thursday. Thank you, Larry Fresh. And Variance, Kurz also adds Variance meter crank to max. Montreal Max, hard to remember more stunning match than Sinner on his win streak, being up 2 sets and 5-1 in the third versus Cerundolo for the heat conditions to take over his body and witness this historical collapse, losing 18 of the last 20 games. The Mail Insiders, what the hell? Tronsky. Well, Gilly, hate to tell you, I told you, but the heat was in, well, the heat wave in France this week was the worst thing for Sinner. The roof saved him in Melbourne. No save today. Now, is this Zverev's best shot at a slam? Has to be. As I said, it absolutely is. If you're Sasha Zverev, that's what you're thinking. But let's bring in Zach Cohen. Zach, of course, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. All of his stuff at VSiN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. Zach, let's just start with what I was talking about in the previous segment, which is his camp requested the noon, or was, you said there was another variable in there? What was going on?
I'm under the impression that he needed to play a day match, and they just had to decide when he'd be going on. I could be completely wrong about that, but there was an option to play on Lenglen a little bit earlier, and if you watch this match at all, you know that if he had an extra hour, he wouldn't have needed an extra hour. Like, it would have been a really easy win for him. He was on his way to absolutely blasting Cerundolo off the floor, and it ended up being, you know, what happens with Yannick Sinner. Like, in these matches, like, when he plays in the heat, he wilts, and it's just something that I find to be shocking. I mean, this is a guy that brought back the physio that, you know, caused him the steroid suspension. So you would think that this guy is the best on the planet or something, but he continues to have this problem. I've heard a lot of people say, like, he should be training in Florida in the off season, not in Monte Carlo or wherever he's training. And maybe that's something he really needs to strongly consider, because it's clear he can't handle these conditions.
It's really true. Go spend a summer in Miami. You'll be ready for everything.
I'll tell you what, Gildy, you know, the two biggest takeaways I took away from the Beating the Book French Open preview, it was watch out for Casper Ruud. He's live. That was number two. And number one was our friend Zach Cohen saying 17 times, watch out how hot it was going to be in Paris for the French Open.
I was 17 times, Zach, you said it. I don't know if you know that. 17 times you said it. Well, a very prescient comment to make 17 different times. What do you have left today, Zach?
I have one play left today. I have Matteo Arnaldi and Stefano Tsitsipas over 37.5 games. It was minus 125 when I wrote it up yesterday. It's minus 135 now. I'd still take that, or I'd just go to 38.5 games. I just feel like this match has four or five sets written all over it, and I do kind of think that the sets are going to be long themselves. I just feel like Tsitsipas, still a good server and somebody that can, you know, dominate, you know, games with aces and serve plus ones, but I don't think he's going to be able to break Arnaldi very easily. Arnaldi has had pretty weak season so far, but he has really started to pick things up over the last like month or so. So I think this is going to be a really competitive match. I actually leaned towards Arnaldi as a money line underdog in that match, but took the over instead.
Okay, and then tomorrow, you're already into tomorrow's slate.
Yeah, for tomorrow, I mean, I'm just trying to find ways to back Alex de Minaur against Jakub Medzic. And if you do that, no matter what you do, no matter how you play it, if it's money line, if it's in parlays, however you want to go about it, take it somewhere where they will grade action in the first set. I do not think Medzic is going to be able to survive that match. I mean, we keep talking about the conditions in Paris. Well, playing Alex de Minaur in Paris sounds like absolute hell, especially when you ended your last match on your back and needed to be helped off the court. Medzic won his match point against Mariano Nivone last match in a, you know, really, really tight five-set match. It was an absolute battle, and he was not able to get off the court because of his cramping was so bad. And de Minaur is the most physical player on the entire ATP tour. I think he's going to grind him down and find a way to win. I parlayed it with Casper Ruud to beat Tommy Paul. I think that Ruud now sees this opportunity in front of him, much like Alexander Zverev does, and feels I'm the best clay court player in this draw. I can go out and win this event. And I think that he's going to take that into a matchup with Tommy Paul, who is also a really difficult opponent. But I do think Ruud's forehand is way too good for Paul's, where Paul's forehand right now is a disaster.
All right. So a demon Casper Ruud parlay from Zach. Those are tomorrow, those two matches. Today, Matteo Arnaldi, Stefanos Tsitsipas, over 37.5 games. Let's go to the NBA. Game six is tonight. I'm sorry that we waited a segment and a half to even bring it up, but Sinner had to be discussed. But OKC, San Antonio, of course, the proverbial must game situation, back against the wall, pick your cliche. They got to win it or it's over. And OKC will be on their way to the NBA Finals to take on the Knicks starting June 3rd. Spurs are 3.5-point favorites. Totals 219. What are we doing?
I really like OKC to win this game. I'm not actually taking it. I already have OKC to win the NBA Finals, and we're deep enough in this thing where I really don't want to add any positions unless I feel really strongly about it, like I did in game five. I was kind of watching that spread move all day the other day, and I was like, I don't understand how this is now down to 3, 3.5 in certain spots. I ended up jumping in on OKC at minus 150 in that game. But this is a game that I'd be looking to stay away from if you have any futures. But I do think that we've seen enough over the last four games that suggests this Thunder team is just better than the Spurs. And if they had Jalen Williams or AJ Mitchell, I think we'd see that a lot easier. But I do think that OKC's depth, I think that their shot making has been good enough. I think that the way that San Antonio is defending Oklahoma City is shocking to me. I don't understand the desire to blitz Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and put two on the ball and leave guys open for, you know, practice shooting threes. Like, it really looks wild to me, the amount of space you're seeing for guys like Alex Caruso and even Jared McCain at times. Like, these are guys that have proven now that they can knock down shots. It's been a long series. I feel like you need to adjust at some point. Maybe the Spurs will do that here. If I were San Antonio, I'd just be throwing Castle at SGA and saying, all right, if you score 40, you score 40. We're not giving anybody wide open threes. This is the conference finals. But there were opportunities to do that already for Mitch Johnson that I don't think he took. So at this point, I think OKC finds a way to win one of these next two games. And I think it could easily be tonight. So money line for me would be the lean. And the only play that I actually have in this game is Chet Holmgren over 13.5 points at minus 109. Kind of bashed Holmgren when I had Kelly on Harvard Handicappers the other day. But, man, I just think that this is a really low point total for somebody that's now averaging like 16 points per game in this postseason. Probably just played his best game of the series, and I thought that he looked really comfortable kind of attacking off the bounce and knocking down turnaround jumpers in the mid-range area. If you add a three or two to this, I think he's going to go over this number pretty easily.
Hardwood Handicappers, by the way, which Zach hosts. How many times a week, Zach? How many times? Every day? Monday to Friday,
although I'm not sure if that's the plan as things really slow down starting next week.
Zach, in the middle of July, like, I think so, but I think I'm doing this right now. You could scan the QR code for more for Hardwood Handicappers. He doesn't quite get the neon green treatment that Will gets. You'll have to just deal with the mustard graphic.
Because it actually matches the podcast look. Yeah. That's what I'm like. Yeah. Someone went rogue with Will's. Or we're redesigning Will's podcast. So he just doesn't know about it.
Hmm. Okay.
One of the two.
Stick around for another segment here, Zach, because I want to talk to you more. But let me just ask you this before the break. Thunder, if it is in fact the Thunder, let's just go with that for now for the purposes. And again, Game 7, potential Game 7 will be Saturday night back in OKC if the Spurs win tonight. What would you make a Thunder-Knicks line? I mean, we see the hypothetical, so maybe it's not about what you would make it, but what would you immediately instinctively think to bet? Sweep? Five games? What leaps to mind for you?
Yeah, so I actually talked about this today on Harvard Handicappers. I think that the prices that I saw for hypotheticals look pretty good. I think minus 265 for OKC is what I saw at DraftKings. I would have OKC right around minus 300. I do think the Thunder would beat the Knicks in under 5.5 games. But the other series, if it ends up being Spurs-Knicks, completely different thoughts on that. So if you want to talk about that after the break, I do think the Knicks have a real shot of winning that one.
We will talk about that after the break. We also want to talk about Western Conference MVP, Western Conference Finals MVP.
Kelly made a bet.
And if you think that Alex Caruso might be legit live here. Coming back, more with Zach on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circle Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the house. Yulia Grabher walking off the court against Amanda Anisimova. Yeah, she couldn't handle the heat either.
Yep, she needed some medical attention. I was seeing during the match.
Players just falling. Just falling left and right.
Man, there is quite a difference of being on one of the main stadiums than these side courts.
Oh, that's the case. You know where it's really
There's like 80 people in attendance.
You ever seen the side courts at the U.S. Open? It's even worse than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot
right.
of foul ground here, Kelly. A lot of foul ground, as you like to say. By the way, we were joking there at the end. Or we weren't joking. It turned out to be a humorous moment where I said, "Okay, one word answer," and he said Georgia Tech. When I asked Matt Grissom, by the way, great appearance by Matt about college baseball regionals. And he said, Georgia Tech. And I said, oh, two words. I'll accept the answer. And then he goes, okay, Georgia. And it sounded like we were joking around, but he really did say in the break, he's like, now actually, Georgia and Georgia Tech for him are the best two teams. They're on the same side of the bracket, and he says Georgia and Georgia Tech combined, by his numbers, a 56% chance to represent that side of the bracket ultimately in the College World Series best of three.
Yeah,
when
that's
all is
pretty
said and done at the very end.
And well done by him with the Georgia-Georgia Tech thing.
Yeah. It was very well done. Here are, by the way, we didn't even show these, the College World Series odds. UCLA and Georgia Tech are the actual short shots to win it all, both at 4-1. The column on the right is to make the College World Series. Texas, to win it all, follows those two squads, plus 650. Then it's Georgia at 8-1. Mississippi State, Auburn, North Carolina, finishing out the single digits there. I don't have a bet yet.
No, I don't have anything. I don't think I'm going to jump into this market right now, but I was paying attention last segment and paying attention to Jensen and a bunch of these guys talk college baseball. I think Arkansas and Oklahoma State I'm going to jump on with Matt.
I think Arkansas is the one that for me. 50-1 on Arkansas?
Oh, yeah. I was just talking the regional bets, but yeah, 50. Yeah, good point. 50-1.
I'm about to win it all.
Maybe I'll join you on that. I am going to bet them in the regional.
Be nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
As the NBA and NHL finals wind down.
No, totally, man.
And the World Cup looms, it will be nice to have a college baseball bet going as well.
That's why this is so great every year.
And one of these where it has nothing to do with our origination, we're just following them.
No, totally. But it's like, it's an awesome tournament. It's exciting as hell every year. And yes, it helps you come down from the high of the NBA finals and the Stanley Cup final.
We get tweets to the book. This is a great comment from Brosec1870. The heat affecting everyone at the French Open makes me think about the World Cup, he says. Paul Carr might have the right angle about European teams not being able to handle the heat.
Yeah.
I think that is the best tweet of the morning.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
From an actionable standpoint.
We'll talk to Paul more about it tomorrow. But yeah, he's been targeting betting on those South American teams and has brought that up multiple times.
Yeah. Chance Copperpot. Now that we've reached the last numbers game show of May, well, that's tomorrow, I can confidentially say Gilly and the lack of factual maple syrup tweets were the reason my Mariners failed this month. It was not the play on the field. # Trident Sup. Yeah. We ran out of days, as they say.
Hey, you know what I mean?
We were never in it.
You know what I didn't get a chance to ask Todd about yesterday is like
when's
he going to start his own just social media like network like that? That whole chat going on in that Discord. Oh, boy.
You know, I don't follow the chat.
Me either, unless I get tagged in there by Chance or Buddhist Man about syrup tweets.
Oh, yeah. Wishnev says this. He goes, you should, because there's a lot in there you would want to know.
There's a lot in there.
Scotty, Leisure Suit Kobe. I'm Ron Burgundying my way through these. Hola. I remember hearing about Caesars buying Westgate on Visa. Well, wasn't Caesars buying Westgate? It was Caesars running their sportsbook operation. I was intrigued when Dwayne Colucci was on. He referred to Rampart as Caesars Sports buying them from Gone Gaming. This topic interests me. Did they try to buy South Point and Stations next, and what's the actual plan? Leisure Suit Kobe, they're not buying the properties. They are just running the sportsbook portion of those properties. Mike, believe me, Michael Gaughan ain't selling the Rampart or the South Point.
And Caesars today, right? Caesars... Fertitta to buy out Caesars Entertainment. $17.6 billion deal.
Fertitta buying them out?
Yeah.
You know that whole shopping center across City Center? That's a Fertitta land also. I thought he was going to build a casino there. Instead, it's like the biggest In-N-Out burger in all of Vegas, in all of maybe America.
Yeah. No, it doesn't surprise me he owns that. It's the, man, have I heard a lot of rumors about buying land, building up places here, and just really never came to fruition, it seems like, but maybe buying out Caesars Entertainment is the better way to go.
That In-N-Out burger is like I could reach out my hand, but to get to it, I have to walk all, so it's like a long walk to get to something right in my face.
It is. Things when people visit Vegas, the whole we've got dinner at the Cosmo tonight, and we're down at Luxor or something. Oh, I'm gonna walk it, and I'm like, all right, yeah, you have fun. We'll walk the strip. Yeah, that building's a lot further away than it looks.
Yeah, it is. JB Beds, JB says, with Sinner out, I sure wish I had that block 600-1 play, but for a practice foot injury. Oh, yeah, he's talking about Alexander Blocks, who could not make his match with Alex Dimonur yesterday. Lefties losers. Fertitta just bought Caesars. Not sure the rep of Golden Nugget, but this has got to be an improvement. S. Watson. There's a very timely tweet right there. S. Watson. I jumped on Sinner minus 125 to win the French after you guys mentioned Carlos had a wrist splint on ANG. Sick about the result today, but give me at least $3 of CLV on my bet, and I'll take my chances. I have a new all-time plus CLV losing bet story out of this, at least. Yeah. Oh, the CLV store.
Let's hit the store together, fellas.
We've done it again.
We're going to get one of them big, giant stuffed pandas. Biggest one they got. Ton of CLV.
PK Mountain Steeler Den. Ain't nothing like a salty cougar playing with a beaver without its ace. Washington State, Oregon State. Believe me, I'm not going to repeat that tweet. Russell Smith, Ryan Towers, who's a starting pitcher for Eastern Carolina tomorrow, is the son of former VSiN host Josh Towers. Go Pirates. Hey, shout out Josh Towers. I didn't know that was his son.
Say that again.
Ryan Towers, who's the starting pitcher for East Carolina tomorrow, is the son of Josh Towers.
There we go. That's awesome.
Let's go.
I didn't know that
either. I'm going to text Josh today right after the show for that. Auburnist, I know we have a lot of sports winding down, but I hope Kelly's working on his CFL preview. Starts next week. He can also throw us a preseason player, too, for the weekend. You doing CFL anymore, sir?
I have not done it in years, but shout out to you, Auburnist, for even remembering that. It's been a couple years since I've bet the CFL.
And William Wagers, wonder if any of the books offer a champion to come out of X state in the College World Series if Georgia and Georgia Tech are on the same side. Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I don't think they go that deep with college baseball, but creative prop. I like it.
I do like a creative prop.
All these books should have very open, like, submissions. Like, hey, email us in, like, ideas.
Here's where I shake my head. I'm sort of smiling because I'm channeling my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, who whenever he hears stuff like that, I can see his face.
You know, I'm going to get four bets.
Chrissy face, he goes, yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. It gives me more work, and then I'm going to get three bets on it for anything, right? I love his take on that kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
He's like, yeah,
true.
But he's right about this. We have no idea what actually people are actually betting. Only he behind the counter has the actual numbers on volume on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The best, you know what his biggest pet peeve is, of course, is like, hey, because someone asked me this the other day on Twitter. I think it was after the show, so I didn't read it. Someone was asking me, what would you make a line between Rafa Nadal and Yannick Sinner? And I never got back to him, but I was going to say, peak Rafa? Come on, right? And this actually played out today. Is exactly Rafa. You think that would ever happen to Rafa? What happened to Yannick today? Please. But the point being that Chrissy, he hates those hypotheticals more than anything. What do you think the 1978 Alabama Crimson Tide in football would be against the this year's Miami Dolphins?
Dude, why does he hate that one more than anything, though? Because he could just throw out a number. It's not like he's actually booking that
one.
He
goes, well, yeah, why do I need that busy work?
I get
just for people to come after me if I make a bad one.
Right,
you know,
yeah. I get the frustration of actually having to post and then book a market that you're going to take four bets on. What would you make that Nadal number? Minus 300?
Peak Nadal?
Yeah.
Versus peak Sinner?
Yeah.
Clay? Well, you know, you don't think of Clay immediately when you think of Sinner.
Right.
I mean, Nadal would be in a match. I'd make him more than a $2 favorite. There is nothing more dominant. We had this discussion, who's the best role player of all time yesterday. Name me something in sports more dominant than Rafa Nadal on clay, and specifically at Roland Garros.
Oh, I cannot.
He won 14 of them.
So it's the greatest thing I've seen in my life.
Yannick Sinner, Schmonick Schminner, as my mother used to say. You have no chance against peak Rafa on clay, especially if it's hot outside, as we learned today. No chance. But that's, Tales of Bookmaking 101. Coco about to take the court now. See if she can advance. I, of course, would be rooting against her. Banging an ego backer here, but separate sides of the bracket here. Coco taking it. But look, Coco's playing in the shade. So this is what happens when you play on this court at this hour.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be no heat problems in this one here. Coco taking on Maya Sharif, who we backed to a victory yesterday. By the way, two tennis plays remain today. Just for clarification, if you missed it, we're going to recap all the bets here momentarily. Arthur Rinderknecht on the men's side against Matteo Berrettini. He's a slight favorite. And then I am on Rafael Collignon, plus 178 versus the American Ben Shelton. Already 2-0 today. Three-day winning streak. Let us not forget, this is for Seth Finkelstein out there, that the day before that was an abject disaster at 1-5. Should point that out as well.
Who did Mertens lose to?
Mertens lost to Maya Shvalinska.
Oh, okay.
Why? What were you wondering?
Just wanted to hear that name pronounced.
Shvalinska. Shvalinska, I believe it's pronounced. Coming back on a numbers game.
Oh.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on The Numbers Game, top of the hour, unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Looking forward to that, as always. Makes me great on Thursdays and Fridays. Every day is great here with you, Kelly Bidlin.
Ah, it's great with you,
Kelly. But Thursdays, crack comes
in. Tiafoe's losing it right now. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut. He's just ripped off the shirt. He's going to the other side.
Francis Tiafoe, big foe, beats Hubert Hurkacz in five sets, and Tiafoe is stripping. He's barely got any clothes on.
This is awesome.
He's excited.
I love Tiafoe.
He's like, this weather doesn't bother me. Longest match of his career, 4 hours and 43 minutes of that heat. Oh, wow. All right, here's a recap of the bets. We got to talk OKC and San Antonio before crack comes in here. But again, here are the French Open bets. The remaining, Rinderknecht and Collignon. Rinderknecht against Berrettini, Collignon against Shelton as a big dog. Two winners this morning for subscribers at VSiN.com/picks, including Maya Shvalinska over Elise Mertens as a plus 173 dog. You, sir, what do you have?
Justin Thomas sucking at golf. That's what I've got.
very quiet on the golf this morning.
I've got at least Alex Smalley's up there, but there is currently a 7-way tie for first place at 4-under. Thor Bjornsson, Mackenzie Hughes, Ricky Castillo, Brian Harman, Keegan Bradley, Ryan Gerard, Russell Henley, all at 4-under par. Bets for me. Well, same game parlay action for me tonight, Gil. Spurs 4.5, sold out to that. Went with Wembanyama over 27.5 points and a Wembanyama double-double that will play plus 254. Did add the Caruso Western Conference Finals MVP yesterday at 50-1. And then a little French Open parlay I just put together with Jack Cohen, Demon Hour and Rude, and then I threw in Madison Keys and Victoria Mboko.
And you do have Alex Caruso, 50-1 to win Western Conference MVP. Caruso down to 25-1 now as we head into game six.
Look, it's a long shot. I don't think those odds are representative of his true chances. As, you know, like
in your heart of hearts, do you think, let's say it's the scenario we paint. Let's say SGA has a, you know, not the greatest game in the world, but he has a, you know, competent game. He's maybe they're storming him, so he has to pass a little more. Caruso has another solid game. In your heart of hearts, do you think they give it to Caruso?
Man, I probably need two games like that, honestly.
So you need them to lose game six with that, but to win game seven with that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably what the path is most likely, I think there's a chance in six.
By the way, if that's the case, that just represents how narrow a path it is for a guy that's not a superstar to win any of these.
I just hope you made a good point, and like, look, I think it's 50-1. Do I expect to win? No, yeah. I don't expect to win, right? But You laid it out. I'm always get afraid of voters that just go, okay, well, what's the points? What's this? Okay, let's give it to the star player. That's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We talked about this yesterday, though. The efficiency is way down for SGA. Both of these teams, great defensive teams, causing a heck of problems for both of the stars on the other side. I mean, he's a guy that shot over 50. It was like 55% from the field during the regular season. He's at 38% right now during this series.
You're also on the two NBA draft plays?
Yeah, Peterson first overall plus 350, Cameron Boozer third overall minus 125.
June 23rd. I'll be here soon enough. Zach Cohen on the show earlier. Tomorrow in tennis, I'll talk about the one that he has left today, first of all. Matteo Arnaldi, Stefanos Tsitsipas, over 37.5 games. That is Zach's remaining tennis play. All of Zach's tennis plays at visa.com/picks as well. Tomorrow he's got a parlay. Alex de Minaur and Casper Ruud. De Minaur are going against Jakub Mensik, who had to be lifted off the court after he won yesterday. And then Casper Ruud over Tommy Paul. So de Minaur, Ruud from Zach. And he is on Chet Holmgren tonight, over 13.5 points. Holmgren exceeding his win total in the last game as well. So he's on Chet Holmgren. Was that a Zach bet? Did I miss? Yes, that was a Chet Holmgren bet.
Yeah.
Over 13.5. Yep. Matt Grissom on moments ago from collegebaseballinsiders.com. Five regional plays. Oklahoma State, plus 175 to win in Tuscaloosa. Ole Miss, hottie toddy, plus 170 to win Lincoln Regional out there in Nebraska with the number one seed Cornhuskers. Arkansas, plus 140 to win in Lawrence. Oregon, minus 125 to win at home in Eugene. And Southern Miss, even money to win in Hattiesburg. Those are the five regional plays from Matt Grissom. He also gave a single play in there as well. We don't have it written down, but he threw one in there on Tennessee, I believe it was, tonight from Matty Grissom. as far as OKC and San Antonio tonight. It's really interesting because this is, listen, we waited all NBA season for this collision course, right? This is the, many of us have said, this is the de facto NBA championship. Obviously, the Knicks are going to have something to say about that. De facto NBA championship. It's, you know, it's gonna a long series, even if it ends tonight, right? It's going to go six or seven games. And yet here we are the morning of game six. And Will sort of alluded to this the other day. I feel like besides game one, it's kind of been met in the sense that I'm never happy, right? I should appreciate what we're watching.
right. But we're never happy.
Every one of these, like the OKC games have been kind of, well, at least the second and third. I can't remember what the first one was, but kind of blowouts-ish or convincing wins. So here we are, game six, OKC looking for the closeout on San Antonio's home court at the AT&T Center there in San Antonio. Spurs are 3.5-point favorites, totals 219.5. You are not touching the side or total?
I'm on Spurs.
You are on the Spurs.
On Spurs, parlayed it with Wemby over points. I think we're extremely correlated. I think the Spurs are not winning this without Victor Wembanyama bouncing back and actually have a big scoring game.
Oh, was that what all that small type was on the screen that you had? Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, Wemby over 27.5. I laid 4.5 with the Spurs. I actually sold out to that. So, yeah, look, I think we're going seven. I think we see a much different Spurs team here tonight. Wouldn't be shocked, though, if the Thunder closed this thing out. We'll see, man. This is, it's between the combination of the injuries. You've had the injuries that have made things a little gross. And then, like, they're two great defensive teams, right? Which also means a lot of fouls that occur. We've seen a lot of free throws. And I'm not just talking SGA. I'm talking in general. So I get it. But, like, this is, we're going to see this series several more times. I think we're going to see some better series between these two teams.
Oh, you for years to come.
Yeah.
Mean? Yeah, absolutely. We will. These teams aren't going anywhere. You think the Thunder are going to make a big draft deal for Boozer?
Which you were alluding to yesterday? Yeah, there's some reports out there. We'll see. I mean, I think that very much this Game 6 and Game 7 could have something to do with that if it goes against them.
You imagine that? They go back-to-back titles, and then they get Boozer in a draft deal?
I mean, they're still sitting on this war chest of picks of what they could do. And then young players on their roster that other teams would be interested in for sure.
Sam Presti, greatest GM in sports?
Yes.
With apologies to the Golden Knights, with apologies to whomever else.
Yeah, for me, for sure.
Listen, I got the Spurs 19-1. Obviously, I have rooting interest in the Spurs advancing here. But I wouldn't be surprised by any outcome tonight.
Yeah, no, me either. I'll probably play a little Spurs first half, too. I think if you're interested in the Spurs first half, you should look at this. They were the best first half ATS team all season long, continues into the playoffs. I'll probably play a little of that. I haven't yet, though.
NBA Killer Sports Challenge. I expect Kyle Akins to be on the Spurs tonight. I could be wrong. We'll see. We'll see about that. And again, Caruso, if you're holding a Caruso ticket for MVP, it's pretty interesting to me on this because it is just another one of these. How many different sports, you know, baseball, football, and beyond that we've talked about these awards bets? The number of times we've been thrilled versus the number of times we've been disappointed by the nature of how voters end up assessing these things. And we tend to be, dare I say it, way too, how would I want to articulate this? We're too smart for our own good on these things.
Oh, yeah.
We make perfect sense on all of this stuff. Here's why Caruso should win. Here's why Spencer Strider, until Spencer Strider blew up.
Con Knipple.
Here's why Con Knipple should win. Here's why all this stuff. And you know what, in the end? We just have to if
give it to the star.
You just give it to the star, man, sometimes. So we'll see. I hope for those who have Caruso tickets like yourself, like Will Hill, I hope it works out for you, but good God.
I mean, look, even that was good on Will for betting it after game one. I was like, man, I think I need to sit on this one and stew on this a little bit longer. It's just as this series has played out, I can't ignore the fact anymore of how down the efficiency is from SGA. Will voters? I don't know, Gil, but I can't ignore that fact. This has been a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's finishing with good numbers. It's a lot done at the free throw line. The Spurs are making it a living hell out there for him.
You agree with Zach, though? Their whole strategy of like sending guys at him so he's forced to like pass the ball, but to wide open guys who have shown the ability to knock down open shots.
from behind the arc consistently is not a good one for the Spurs.
Yeah, completely agree. I actually,
Castle one-on-one with Shea has had his moments.
I was going to say, I actually think tonight we see both of these teams go, hey, we're going to throw Hartenstein on Wemby. We got to live with whatever he can do for, you know, a lot of minutes. And then Castle, you got to shut down SGA. We cannot leave Jared McCain wide open for another three.
Daryl Morey, how do you let him go for nothing? Not nothing, but you know.
Yeah.
How are you going to let Jared McCain go?
Well, he paid the price.
What are you thinking, man? Yeah, he did pay the price. Daryl Morey losing his job. You can almost draw a direct line from that to him losing his job, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And every Paul George contracted, yeah.
Every time McCain hits a shot, I was like, oh, yeah, he's done. Coming back, Unscripted, Crack Man, next on A Numbers Game.